This is the Carlton Podcast. Here's your host, Tony Moclair.
Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Carlton Podcast. Mitch Robinson to my left. Always a good sight to see. How are you, Robbo?
Oh, it's good to be here, mate. As I said, every week we're doing pretty well. We keep coming back, so...
Can I just explain to you before we get to our very, very special guest? Oh. We have a lot of guests in the Carlton Podcast. I'm especially excited about this guest. I got the text message from Madeline, our producer, yesterday and was doing a little dance to myself in the street. Embarrassment damned. Michael Jamieson, who occupied the seat you're now sitting in, Robbo,
yep.
This week co-hosted an hour on SEN.
An hour?
This podcast...
Was that like the sleep on the way home drip, was it? Is it called the drive home, it's got a sleep home, is it?
No, he was co-hosting... Yeah. This is the dream factory, baby. This is where careers are made.
Well,
so that's what lies ahead for you, Robbo.
I've got a face to the radio, right? Mate, so I'll be fine, I reckon.
I am the Mr. Miyagi to your...
Yep.
What was his name?
Karate Kid.
Thank you. All right. Now, Robbo, today's very special guest,
it's
and we'll explain why he's in here in a second.
You wouldn't get a word out of him at training or anywhere else, so we'll see how we go today.
He'll be singing like a stool pigeon, I promise.
Exactly.
He played for the Swans Districts in the WAFL, or the Waffle, in 2007. He made his debut for the Blues during our Round 1 clash with Richmond 2009.
With me.
He's played 105 games for Carlton, the first player in his Guernsey number to do so. He's kicked 179 goals and was nominated... for the AFL Rising Star in 2010. He is
gun.
Jiffy
a gun.
Gullet.
Rock on, mate.
Appreciate it a lot. Be honoured to be on this podcast.
It's just, very well done.
Jiffy, it's just wonderful to have you in here. How are you going?
Yeah, pretty good yourself.
Yeah, good, thanks. Well, there's a lot to get to today. We've got Greg Swan's resignation. We've got the Indigenous round, which you might know something about. First, let's talk about the Adelaide game. Now, Robbo, you were benched for this by saying benched, I mean you were kind of serving your one-week suspension.
Yes, I was. But I was still watching. I went to the game and went down and had a look, and the boys, because we're playing against our old teammate, Eddie Betts, I thought it would be a good match. And as I said on my Facebook, on my fan page, I said, I hope Eddie Betts plays well but goes home with a loss. So,
well, he did both.
And it worked out well. So I was glad he played well, but it was even better that we got the win.
Jiffy, how was it playing against Eddie?
Yeah, no, it was pretty hard, you know. Like, he's a real main player that we loved when he was here at the club. But unfortunately, he went to Adelaide back home, and it was like, it's weird, you know, like seeing him in the other opposition jumper, what he could do for us, what he showed that night.
Yeah, because he nearly sunk us. There was a couple of, you know, trademark Betts passages of play that you realise why he was so loved at the club.
Any banter the week before the game, leading up to the game? Was there any text message thrown around or anything?
Yeah, there was always just from Eddie trying to get some words out of us, but never gave in.
I saw him and Yaron have a little push and shove during the game, so it was pretty funny to watch that.
Well, that wasn't it. It wasn't just with Yaz. It was...
Is he Chooker?
Tui.
McLean. And McLean pushed him out of the line. I thought, if that's a free kick, oh my goodness, he's going to kick that.
Yeah, Jamo had a go. Was there some unfinished business when Betts left the club?
No, I'm not sure. It's just like every other player when they go to... I think their club, it's always the same. They're always going to give you crap no matter what and get into you. So it doesn't matter where you are, pretty much.
It was a great moment at the end, Robbo, where everyone went up to him. It was a lot like when Kennedy left and played his first game, Carlton v West Coast. Yeah. He was mobbed by everyone, and it's a great sign of just how much or how well-regarded a player is at the club.
He started crying too.
Did he? I'm sure he did. Well, that's all right. He's a big man, you know. Up, Probably make a funny YouTube video about it. Jiffy, can you just tell us how it's affected you? Because you're a pretty tight unit, the three amigos. You were one-third of that. How did it affect you when Eddie said he was leaving?
He told us about it, and it's hard, you know. Like, being with him for 6 years over here, lived with him for nearly half a year, and then we just end up become real good mates and real close with each other. So, but it was hard. It was hard at time, you know, like coming to training every day. He's not here, and like just in the in our meetings, he was always sitting next to us up top. So, but now he's not there. pretty empty space. Pretty quiet. So now Murphy's pretty much come
yeah,
on top.
Yeah, I left that spot too. When Eddie left, I left my... Me, him and Jeffy sat next to each other. So when Eddie left, I left as well. Oh. I moved down next to Dennis because he's next in line.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Line of succession. Okay. Yep. Being good friends with Eddie then, you would have special insight to the horror and the trauma that he experienced when he lived with Robbo, yeah, when they shared a house. Were there any kind of stories that he told, or was he still too traumatised to open
probably
up about what it was like to share a house with Mitch Robinson?
Probably not podcast worthy.
No, he hasn't said much. I lived with Eddie before Robbo moved in.
Oh, okay.
Alrighty, mate.
I was there before he moved in, and then...
You could have warned me before I went in there.
Then Yaz ended up moving in, got a place together, so... But no, I haven't said anything bad, not that I'm not.
I was a good housemate. It was the other way around. I was traumatised by living with them.
Well, Eddie's not here to give us his side of the story.
No, give him a phone call or email.
Adelaide won't release him for the podcast. What was your impression of the game? You're on for the last quarter. You're a high-impact player. Yeah. How was that quarter? Because that was when the game was there to be won. That was a really frantic quarter of football.
Yeah, the last quarter pretty much was game was up and about for both teams. Anything could happen, and I came on the last quarter, and I was just trying to get near where the ball was, so because they didn't have much left, and few missed kicks we missed at the start of the game where we could have gone up front, and then didn't end up happening, and then missed a few 50 meters, got a given away, and then they got a goal or two out of it, and just let them get back into it, and we let Eddie get loose pretty much, and then he got them back in the game. But was lucky enough to held on for the rest of the game, and lucky enough to come off with the win.
What's your headspace like in a game that's that tight, Robbo? Because I mean, as a supporter, I was in the world's most depressing pub watching it on Foxtel. I won't tell you which pub it is. But
what pub was it?
I'm not. It's the local, and it's a DIVE. Off the record? No, it wasn't. The pressure. Like any time you go near the ball, is your heart's in your mouth? Are you thinking, "Don't screw this up"? You know what? What's your headspace like in a tight game like that?
Well, even just watching, I think I get more nervous watching the boys play than actually playing myself. It's pretty full on. Last quarter, as Jeffy was saying, like every possession counts, and every mark and play on, and every aspect of the game, like given an inch or taking an inch, it's win or lose situation. So, you know, they had their scoring shots, and we missed some of ours. And I think, you know, we dissected the last couple of minutes of the game in the review on Monday, and there's things we could do better, but yeah, getting away with the W's is a massive win for us, and I thought it was one of the better games I've seen for a long time. It was back and forth, and it was a real showcase of some skill and the pressure, because you know they're known for their tackling ability and their quick scoring. So I think we did pretty well with that, and you know they beat Collingwood the week before, and we got over them in the end, and it's a big game this weekend. We can't just rest on our morals for last week. It's time to focus on Brisbane.
Well, we will get to that in a sec. I'm not going to talk about. Certainly one of the most interesting, deliberately out-of-bounds decisions I think I've ever seen in the history of the AFL. That was it Jamo's or Tui's?
I saw Rowie get a dump.
Oh, no, sorry, it was Rowie,
yeah, when he fumbled over the line.
Yeah.
I
didn't get that because I'm a supporter, not a player. I wonder how you guys go with that because you can never kind of objectively interpret the rule. Rowie was running with the ball. It seemed about half a foot in front of him. He didn't get it in time. It went over, and then it was paid. Paid. I thought it was a joke when the ump did it. Anyway, how was that when the siren went, Jeffy, and to get away? It wasn't a huge margin. We're up by 20 points. Seesawing game. When the siren went, what was your feeling?
Oh, it's an awesome feeling when you win any kind of game. And in the position that we're in now, we're really grateful that we got the win because we want to keep going forward, and every team wants to make finals, so... We want to keep going the right direction and keep improving as we go along. So it was a good feeling getting the win, and every team does want to lose. Otherwise, you're going to have that not that good feeling. But it's always a good feeling when you win.
Seems a lot more positive spirit in the playing group.
It does. No, even just around the club, we've always been positive this year. Like we knew there were some things we had to work on. You know, close knit inside and outside. But the first four games, we know we didn't get any wins, and The boys, we all knew exactly what we had to do to work on it. The game plan on game plan has not changed at all. It's just been more execution and having a bit more confidence when you're going forward. And, you know, blokes have been kicking some good goals, and everything's just kind of fitting into place now. But, you know, we're still 4-5, so we're still not on par where we want to be. But the only way we can go up is kicking more wins. But yeah,
you don't want to do a Jack Riewoldt and tell me a little bit more about the game plan?
No, I don't know. I think I'll stay away from that. But if I do say something and come out and kick 11 goals on the weekend, yeah, then you know what? I'll give you the whole details of all our structures and everything. So.
Oh, please. Now, speaking of which, we are playing Brisbane. It's a very important round. Before we get to that, though, Jiffy, part of my, believe it or not, research for the podcast, I had to suffer through watching your highlights reel from 2012, Jiffy, yeah, which was awesome. You played a brilliant game against Brisbane that year.
How many?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Oh, there was at least one from a set shot, beautiful kick, and from a great grab too. So yep, I'm hoping you keep up that form. It is Indigenous round.
And now, what are you doing there?
Well, Robbo, I'm presenting to you, excuse me, a bit of a chill, the Guernsey you will wear against Brisbane up at the Gabba for the Indigenous round. Can you tell us something about the origins of the CFC monogram?
It looks amazing. No, yeah, as you said, I'm getting presented with a jumper in this Indigenous round. Should be going on Jeffy, but it looks amazing.
It's got the number 12 on the back.
It does have number 12 on the back. So I'm pretty wrapped that I'm playing. I just got told about 10 minutes ago that I'll be back in the team. So that always makes it a bit better. As you said, yeah. My partner, Emma McNeil, she designed this jumper. The Carlton Club was very good to offer us a job. And, you know, she had a lot of ideas to go into it, but, she, you know, we all came to the decision that we'll keep it kind of simple and but make sure the Indigenous is still in the front of the jumper and really recognisable. So it looks amazing, but it's probably better if, you know, Emma explains it, what it is, because, you know, I think that'll really get to the in-depth about, you know, the dots and the circles. It just looks amazing. So here's a little cut from Emma.
I basically chose a very, simple design, so I didn't want to take too much away from the CFC emblem, and I still wanted the jersey to be recognised as a Carlton jersey. So I chose a boomerang as it's a symbol for men, and men in the tribe would usually use a boomerang to head out and hunt. I sort of associated this as our guys who are heading out into a stadium full of thousands of people when they were hunting for a victory. So in a sense, they're the warriors of our club, and they work together to get that win. I did the letters, the lines inside the letter F and in the boomerang in the base are all lines that are jagged, and they're sort of, you know, never, they're connecting, but they're never sort of flowing in the same direction. And in a sense, that represents the guys' lives that they live every day. That's the ups and downs that they have personally at work, you know, that kind of thing. That's the, you know, the good and the bad times, the times when they've shone the brightest in a game, or, you know, they felt like they were in the dark. And then we had the circles in the boomerang and the dots. They basically represent, you know, the support system that the boys have. So that's, you know, their parents, their partners, the fans that have supported them continuously since the beginning, and will continue to support them in the future as well. So.
And there was Emma.
Thank you, Emma McNeil, who designed Carlton's Indigenous round jumper. The most obvious question to you then, Jeff Carlett, is how the hell did Robbo get somebody so attractive and intelligent and creative and talented?
Personality.
And then agree to have a child with him.
I know, he's done pretty good for himself.
Yeah, so I trapped her. He said.
So. Well, you can actually see a picture of the happy family with baby boy Chance on the Carlton website. But just looking at the Indigenous round jumper, you, Jeffy Garlett, how does that go, I guess, firstly, what does that mean to you? And how does that go, I guess, representing the very broad nation that is Indigenous Australia?
Yeah, means a lot, you know. The AFL's and the clubs letting every team in the AFL to get an Aboriginal design on the jumpers. I think it's probably the first time in history they've ever done it. So it means a lot to all us players, because playing for our culture and our family means heap. And being Aboriginal, like not many players out there. So I think there's only roughly 81 or 90 players out there. So we'd love to see more Indigenous players to get out there and to play for our culture and for our family. So, but having the design and the way Emma did it up, it looks awesome, and I'm very honoured to wear this jumper and to have this design on the front. Means a lot.
How was your journey into the AFL? Because I know there's quite a story there. There was You know, there was heartache, there were obstacles, there was drama. In terms of how you got to arrive at Carlton, can you just talk us through that?
Yeah, my family lived in the country, so and I had
some... In WA,
yeah. Yep.
In Australia.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were Irish. I thought you were one of those Dublin recruits.
Oh, well, you're in your mob now.
So, oh, whoops.
No, but yeah, my family, mum and dad were living in Meriden, and for me to get where I am now, I had to do it the hard way. I had to live in Perth. I couldn't keep traveling back and forward from the country because it was like 3.5 hours out of town. And I was lucky enough to stay with Andrew Emily from West Coast. I was lucky enough to stay with his parents, and they looked after me pretty well. And I was really, really honoured and grateful that they opened arms to let me come in. So I didn't get picked up in the first year of the. When I was 18, 19 years old, didn't get picked up in that draft. So that time was I'm not going to get picked up. But then I was I'll give it one more year, have one more crack. And I was lucky enough that Carlton picked me up in the first pick in the rookie list.
I'd say we were lucky too, Jeffy. Extended family is obviously the centre of Aboriginal life. How do you go being in Melbourne with your extended family over in WA? Does that make it especially hard on you being Indigenous, do you think?
No, it is hard. Like leaving WA is like 4.5 hours on a flight, but yeah, it's a long transition. Like coming from Perth to Melbourne to a bigger city, bigger place, and heaps of people around. But it's different. It's hard. But I'm always on the phone to my family pretty much most every day of the week. And as long as I get to talk to them every day, I feel more comfortable. And I was lucky enough to know a few players here when I got drafted, and I'm. Met this fella here,
so it's ups and downs, I guess.
So, but no, it's been pretty good since I came here. Like, found it hard my first year, as every player does. But once you get that comfort and all the boys get around you feel like you're home.
Jeffy was confident from day one. He told he told Rats the first day he got here that he'll play around one in his first year, and no one could believe it. This is a little skinny kid from WA on the rookie list and. Shown everyone up, and he actually played round one, so it was crazy.
Yeah, I can honestly say, within the fans, there were big raps early on Jiffy Garlett. I will
debut with this bloke. Debut with
remember
him.
That. Were your parents at your debut game?
Yeah, they came across to my debut, but I don't remember saying that to Rats, but that's a story. But I'll go along.
Well, if Robbo says it, then it's
true. No, I've heard it on the traps. Like I didn't hear it, but
I'll go along with it. So I was lucky enough. Played my first game. I was lucky enough to get my first touch and kicked a goal, so I was happy with that.
Mum was second touch. Mum was second touch, first goal. But
who are some of the Indigenous players who have inspired you? There's been there's been great Indigenous players at Carlton. Sid Jackson obviously comes to mind. But say over the last 10 years playing AFL, or over the course of AFL history,
I loved watching Jeff Farmer and Andrew McLeod.
Yeah,
the only reason why. My main favourite was Jeff Farmer because he plays the way I want to play. So like with a small coming forward, and he's just a natural freak in footy. So the things he could do, I want to do it myself. So.
Yeah.
What about a few speckies?
You know, Bunch could turn a game on its head. He was a phenomenal player.
Makes anything happen.
Yeah, and having done a bit of radio in Adelaide, he used to come into the breakfast show I was doing over there, Robbo.
Really?
So
his claim to fame was doing some radio with you then?
Yeah. So, again, another one.
300-game career.
Yeah, he's gone on to bigger and better things. And can I say, just a wonderful human being, just a lovely man.
He is a good bloke. Awesome.
So, well, Brisbane, how are we going to beat them? Their mids are formidable. What are we going to do, Robbo?
Yeah, I think they don't have enough credit as what they should be due. They're actually a great team. They've had a few injuries here and there. They've got three big players back this week, so which will hold up the defence. But yeah, as you said, Jed Adcock leads away pretty much for him with possession wise and uncontested marks and stuff. So I'm sure a player will be going to him in the forward line. As you said, Jack Redden and those foot soldiers like Zorko and what's the other bloke's name, Rockcliffe. Yeah, they rack them up. So they're very well known for their contested possession. So if we can match them there and clear the ball, we think we've got a better chance of kicking goals with young Jeffy here crumbing them and kicking a few freakish. Indigenous round goals, I reckon he'd get goal of the week.
Walks, unfortunately, is out. His knee, that must be an especially cruel blow given that it's Indigenous round. Have you spoken to him?
Yeah, I saw him this morning. He wasn't training with the main group, so we kind of got a bit of wind that he might not be playing. He's been pushing through every week, and he's been giving us plenty. So I think a week off would be good for him, and just to refresh and get his body right, and come back next week and just absolutely smash it again. Because he's a vital member of the team. Yeah. And he holds the back line up so well and runs off, and he runs about 17k a game. He's a freak. So he'll be back next week ready to go.
Now you fly out a few days early. The game, what day is the game on, Robert?
Saturday. But Saturday? We fly up tomorrow. Yep. So all right. Only day early.
Okay. And so you just want to acclimatise a Brizzy. You meet the fans up there. What's the routine generally when you get up there, Robbo?
Yeah, well, we fly out tomorrow. We'll go on the Virgin Lounge and we'll have our pre-flight food and have a little bit of relaxation. But no, when we get up there, we'll go through some team meetings and some structures and stuff and what we need to do to combat Brisbane in the midfield, etc. So we'll go up there on the Friday and have a bit of dinner with each other. We'll go out for some dinner. Then on a Saturday, it's just normal game day for us. So. We used to fly up a couple of days early for interstate games, but I think boys just get it night away from Melbourne, which is good, and everyone kind of bonds. I love playing away from Melbourne because you just get out of the CBD all that kind of stuff. And
yeah, because you've got a small child.
Exactly, it's perfect. But they're actually flying up on Saturday too, so.
Oh, okay.
The club flew up Emma and Little Chance on Saturday morning, so she'll come up and spend the day with me. So it'll just be like a normal day for me, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And so do you know people in Brisbane, Tiffy? Or
no, I'm from WA, man. Long way.
Well, I don't know. I thought you might have mates up there. A guy like you would have friends everywhere, I would have thought. Robert, how's it been this week? There's big news that the CEO of Carlton, Greg Swan, a man who has done amazing things. Jeffy, to give you an example of how he's helped turn this club around, there were 26,000 members when he came here. There's now over 45,000. So that is that's a key performance indicator. That's going to be very hard to beat for his successor. How's that been this week, Robbo?
I think Jeffy would have brought a few followers too, so would have been probably bumped up 20,000 or so. No, Swanee's been absolutely amazing. I've been here for 6 years now, and haven't worked very closely with Swanee, but he's always around the boys downstairs and getting around. So we see him a fair bit, and he's actually one of the best blokes that I kind of know going around the club. So it's kind of a sad day for us to find out that Swanee will be moving on. I think mid June. So. It's kind of a big blow having Sticks as well and Swanee, but I'm sure we'll find some fantastic contributors to come in and take their spot. But no, Swanee will do awesome wherever he goes after football. I'm sure a club will be trying to pick him up ASAP because he has done amazing things for the club. And no, we do owe him a fair bit, so thanks Swanee for that and good luck, mate. I saw him today, gave him a hug and a bit of a handshake.
Good. Did
I was
you
trying
cry?
To sort my contract out, but I've got to start all over again. I don't know who I have to suck up to now. It's getting crazy.
I think you'll be all right, Robert.
Yeah,
now, Swanee will continue his role until after the club's 150th function next month, and he will officially step down on June the 23rd, the same day as Stephen Kernahan ends his presidency. That's a big cultural shift at the club. There's no getting around that. They're two huge personalities and very important to the club. And on behalf of the podcast, we would like to thank them for their great work serving the Carlton Football Club. They will be greatly missed. We should point out too, Robert, that there's no such change of personnel here at the podcast. Now, just to give you some idea of Greg Swan's impact at the club and his contribution to the club, Jeffy, as I said, total membership's gone from 28,000 to 50,000 last year. Under Greg, Carlton has also secured long-term deals with key major sponsors, including a Korean car manufacturer called
Hyundai,
Mars, and Nike. He's also led the way in developing the $20 million training facility that opened at Visy Park in 2010. How good is that?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, especially to get Mars on. So yeah, we get some.
Love free chocolates. Yeah. We love it.
You happy about that?
Yeah, I'm very happy about that.
All right. Okay. Your favourite Mars product, Jeffy, what would it be?
Sneakers.
Sneakers or Snickers?
Sneakers. Yeah, sneakers.
He loves getting both. Mars sneakers.
All right. Sneakers.
Yeah.
Mars.
Oh, sneakers and Snickers. I like it. That's great.
Spot on.
Well, no wonder there's a training facility. You've got to work off all that sugar.
Yeah, you know
that's why we train every day.
Oh, yeah.
So. You know it.
Because look at him. He's the size of a house.
Mate, he's wiry. He's ripped.
I love that. Yeah. Now, on the field, Chris Judd, Mick Malthouse, that should be off the field. Chris Judd, Mick Malthouse, and most recently Dale Thomas have been key signings under Greg's leadership. And the hunt is on for a new CEO. So we wish the club luck with that. Now, before we go, we be going to getting. We will get to the quiz in a minute. Sorry, I'm a bit tongue tied. We should remember Wes Lofts, another great servant of the club. So we say, hello, Wes Lofts. Wes was a member of Carlton's groundbreaking premiership team of 68, a long serving chairman of selectors through the halcyon days of the 70s and 80s. Oh my God, what a time. And a pivotal figure at Princes Park in the second half of the 20th century. And you wore a black armband for him last week.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
It's time for the quiz. I'm going to throw over to Robbo to explain how it works.
I've got to explain it.
You've got to explain it. Yeah, well, you're a multiple winner of it.
Yeah, but last week was a shambles because I think Jamomoto got some inside information because you were texting him the night before the quiz, so...
That's an outrageous allegation.
So pretty much, Jeffy, it's called Knowing Your Teammate. He's going to round off about five questions, type things, a bit of statements, and... First in, best dress. So if you guess who the teammate is, you win. So
yeah, you win a Mars bar. How's that?
Sounds awesome.
He's got plenty at home. He's right.
All right. I know the way to your heart, Jeff Carlett. All right, here we go. Clue number one. I made my debut for the Blues during the Round 7 clash against West Coast in 2008.
Chris Yaron.
David Allard.
Oh, my God.
Did I get it?
No, you didn't.
Not Dave Allard.
Yes.
Oh, 2008. We got drafted in 2008. Oh,
that was even quicker than Jammo.
And he kicked a goal, didn't he? I know he kicked a goal.
Did he? Okay, yeah, so far I've played 47 games for Carlton. My path to Princes Park began at the then Midvale Football Club in WA. What are they like?
What was the question again?
He's just thinking about his win.
Yeah.
I'm depressed again. Listen,
he's away.
It's devastating.
My path to Princes Park began at the then Midvale Football Club in WA.
Why would you give him a question which involves Perth? Because he's probably watching that game in West Coast.
Yeah.
And he's good like these...
David Allard, played for Midvale.
Yeah. Are they a good club or...
Yeah, it's an awesome club. Midvale Junior Football Club.
Is that who you play for?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, well, don't even look at... You better start knocking it.
Huh?
You better start bagging the team out.
No, I wanted to know what they were like. I wanted to know what their reputation was.
No, it was pretty awesome.
Jeff, you got defensive.
Really had, three, four guys and the rest of pretty much Indigenous players.
Oh, okay. So they go all right then. That's a permanent Aboriginal team of the century.
I don't even want to play this game.
Nick Natnui. We had Nick Natnui there. He was there too.
Big really?
Nick
Nat. Yeah.
Wow. 6056.
Okay. Chris Yaron. Myself, Chris Yaron.
Dangles?
Nick Natnui. No, not Dangles.
Who did Dangles play for?
Michael Walters.
Yeah.
Fremantle.
So is that how far back you and Yaz go?
Yeah.
Wow.
Been for a while and David Allard too, so that's how long we
That's how the kind of question you throw at him. He's like one of his long-time friends.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Just, come on, man.
Okay, well,
give me a Tassie question next week. That's what it's like doing. I was only one bloke off.
So I'm getting bagged here. I'm coming from both sides. Do you want to hear the rest of the clues?
Yes, I do.
Okay, here we go. Clue number four. After a brief season with Swans District in the Waffle,
Dave Allard.
I was recruited by Carlton.
Dennis Arnfield.
What have I done now?
Dennis Arnfield. Huh? Oh, is it Ella? Is it still Ella?
Yeah, it's still Ella. Okay. Yep. Yeah, not Jeff Garlett. After a brief season with Swan Districts in the Waffle, I was recruited by Carlton as selection number 34 in that year's rookie draft. After a brief stint with Carlton's then AFL affiliate, the Bullants, I was promoted to the senior squad when Andrew Walker was placed on the long-term injury list. He's been there about seven times, I think.
Yes.
In 2009, I was awarded best clubman at Carlton's BNF.
That's a pretty good achievement.
Yeah,
yep.
He is. And he's guested on the podcast before.
Dennis Arnfield.
Oh, not this year, though.
No, I think it was last year.
Dennis Arnfield.
If we start...
You know I'm
deaf. Start going down Dave Allard's path, getting him on the podcast, and I know that I'm doing a bad job.
Well, we've done a great job today.
We've got Jeff Garlett.
Thank you so much. Good luck for Indigenous Round.
No problems. Thanks for having me.
And we would love to have you back anytime you're ready, willing and able.
Yeah, whenever you want me to get to me an invite, I'll be here.
Yeah, great. Robbo.
I'm going to write that down. We got it on recorder, so.
Okay. Great work from Emma designing the Indigenous Round jumper. It's awesome to have you back in the team for the Indigenous Round against Brisbane.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the Adelaide game would have been a Mitch Robinson picnic.
We still got the win, so.
But that's exactly. No Mitch Robinson win. Mitch Robinson win. Yeah, that's what we want to see. And we'll catch you next week on the podcast.
Go Baggers.